Neurons must have still been misfiring, because I hallucinated something that could never happen. Levi Ward, bridle carrying me to the lobby and gently laying me on one of the couches. Then I must have hallucinated some more. Levi Ward, viciously tearing a new one into the engineer who'd left the cart unattended. That had to have been a fever dream for several reasons. First of all, Levi is terrifying, but not that terrifying. His brand is more kill him with icy cold indifference and silent contempt than angry outbursts. Unless in our time apart, he's embraced a whole new level of terrifying, in which case, lovely. Second, it's difficult, and by difficult, I mean impossible, to imagine him siding against a non-me party in any me-involved accident. Yes, he did save my life, but there's a good chance he had no idea who I even was when he shoved me against the wall. This is Dr. Wardass, after all. The man who once stood for a 2-hour meeting rather than take the last empty seat because it was next to me. The man who exited a game of poker he was winning because someone dealt me in. The man who hugged everyone in the lab on his last day at Pitt and promptly switched to handshakes when it was my turn. If he caught someone stabbing me, he'd probably blame me for walking into the knife and then take out his whetstone. Clearly, my brain wasn't at her best on Friday, and I could stand here, stare at my closet, and agonize over the fact that my grad school nemesis saved my life. Or I could bask in my excitement and pick an outfit. I opt for black skinny jeans and a polka-dotted red top. I pull up my hair in braids that would make a Dutch milkmaid proud, put on red lipstick, and keep the jewelry to a relative minimum. The usual earrings, my favorite septum piercing, and my maternal grandmother's ring on my left hand. It's a bit weird to wear someone else's wedding ring, but it's the only memento I have of my Nona, and I like to put it on when I need some good luck. Rika and I moved to Messina to be with her right after our parents died. We ended up having to move again just 3 years later when she passed. But out of all the short-lived homes, out of all the extended relatives, Nona is the one who loved us the most. So Rika wears her engagement ring, and I wear her wedding band, even Steven. I shoot a quick, uplifting tweet from my WWMD account. Happy Monday! Keep calm and carry on, friends, and head out. You excited? I ask Rocio when I pick her up. She stares at me darkly and says, in France, the guillotine was used as recently as 1977. I take it as an invitation to shut up, and I do, smiling like an idiot. I'm still smiling when we get our NASA ID pictures taken, and when we later meet up with Guy for a formal tour. It's a smile fueled by positive energy and hope, a smile that says, I'm going to rock this project. And watch me stimulate your brain, and I'm going to make neuroscience my bitch. A smile that falters when Guy swipes his badge to unlock yet another empty room.
And here's where the transcranial magnetic stimulation device will be, he says.
Just another variation of the same sentence I've heard over and over and over. Here is where the electroencephalography lab will be. Here you'll do participant intake once the review board approves the project. Here will be the testing room you asked for. Just a lot of rooms that will be, but aren't yet. Even though communications between NASA and NIH indicated that everything needed to carry out the study would be here when I started. I try to keep on smiling. It's hopefully just a delay. Besides, when Dr. Curie was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1903, she didn't even have a proper lab and did all of her research out of a converted shed. Science, I tell myself in my inner Jeff Goldblum voice, finds a way. Then Guy opens the last room and says,
and here's the office you two will share. Your computer should arrive soon.
That is when my smile turns into a frown. It's nice, the office. Large and bright, with refreshingly not rusted through desks and chairs that will provide just the right amount of lumbar support. And yet, first of all, it's as distant from the engineering labs as possible. I'm not kidding. If someone grabbed a protractor and solved for X, i.e. the point that's farthest from Levi's office, they'd find that X equals my desk. So much for interdisciplinary workspaces and collaborative layouts. But that's almost secondary because... Did you say computer? Singular? Rocio looks horrified. Like one? Guy nods.
The one you put on your list.
We need like 10 computers for the type of data processing we do, she points out. We're talking multivariate statistics, independent component analysis, multidimensional scaling and recursive partitioning, Six Sigma.
So you need more.
At the very least, buy us an abacus. Guy blinks, confused.
What?
We put 5 computers on our list, I interject with a side look at Rocio. We will need all of them.
Okay.
He nods, taking out his phone.
I'll make a note to tell Levi. We're heading to meet him right now. Follow me.
My heartbeat accelerates. Probably because the last time I saw Levi, my brain confabulated that he was carrying me an officer and a gentleman style, and the previous came on the tail of a year of him treating me like I'm a tax auditor. I'm nervously playing with my grandmother's ring and wondering what disaster of galactic proportions this next meeting has in store for me. When something catches my eye through the glass wall, Guy notices.
Want a sneak peek at the helmet prototype?
He asks. My eyes widen. Is that what's in there? He nods and smiles.
Just the shell for now, but I can show you.
That would be amazing, I gasp. Embarrassing how breathless I sound when I get excited. I need to follow through with my couch to 5K plans. The lab is much larger than I expected. Dozens of benches, machines I've never seen before pressed against the wall, and several researchers at various stations. I feel a frisson of resentment. How come Levi's lab, unlike mine, is fully stocked? But it quiets down the instant I see it. Blink is a complex, delicate, high-stakes project, but its mission is straightforward enough. To use what is known about magnetic stimulation of the brain, my jam, to engineer special helmets, Levi's expertise, that will reduce the attentional blinks of astronauts, those little lapses in awareness that are unavoidable when many things happen at once. It's the culmination of decades of gathering knowledge, of engineers perfecting wireless stimulation technology on one side and neuroscientists mapping the brain on the other. Now, here we are. Neuroscience and engineering sitting in a very expensive tree called Blink, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. It's hard to communicate how groundbreaking this is. 2 separate slices of abstract research bridging the gap between academia and the real world. For any scientist, the prospect would be exhilarating. For me, after the mild shit show my career has put up in the past couple of years, it's a dream come true. All the more now that I'm standing in front of tangible proof of said dream's existence. That's the...
Yep.
Rocio murmurs. Wow. And for once doesn't even sound like a sullen Lovecraftian teenager. I'd tease her about it, but I can't focus on anything but the helmet prototype. Guy is saying something about design and stage of development, but I tune him out and step closer. I knew that it'd be made from a combination of Kevlar and carbon fiber cloth, that the visor would carry thermal and eye-tracking capabilities, that the structure would be streamlined to host new functionalities. What I did not know was how stunning it would look. A breathtaking piece of hardware designed to house the software I've been hired to create. It's beautiful. It's sleek. It's... wrong. It's all wrong. I frown, peering closer at the pattern of holes in the inner shell. Are these for the neurostimulation output? The engineer working at the helmet station gives me a confused look.
This is Dr. Koenigswasser, Lamar,
Guy explains.
The neuroscientist from NIH. The one who fainted?
I knew this would haunt me, because it always does. My nickname in high school was Smelling Salts B. Damn my useless autonomic nervous system. The one and only, I smile. Is this the final placement for the output holes?
Should be, why?
I lean closer. It won't work. A brief silence follows, and I study the rest of the grid.
Why do you say that?
Guy asks. They're too close. The holes, I mean. It looks like you used the international 10 to 20 system, which is great to record brain data, but for neurostimulation, I bite into my lip. Here, for instance, this area will stimulate the angular gyrus, right?
Maybe, let me just check.
Lamar scrambles to look at a chart, but I don't need confirmation. The brain is the one place where I never get lost. Upper part. Stimulation at the right frequency will get you increased awareness, which is exactly what we want, right? But stimulation of the lower part can cause hallucinations. People experiencing a shadow following them, feeling as though they're in two places at the same time, stuff like that. Think of the consequences if someone was in space while that happened. I tap the inner shell with my fingernail. The outputs will need to be farther apart.
But
Lamar sounds severely distressed.
This is Dr. Ward's design.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dr. Ward knows nothing about the angular gyrus, I murmur distractedly. The ensuing silence should probably tip me off. At least, I should notice the sudden shift in the atmosphere of the lab. But I don't, and keep staring at the helmet, writing possible modifications and workarounds in my head, until a throat clears somewhere in the back of the room. That's when I lift my eyes and see him. Levi, standing in the entrance, staring at me. Just staring at me. A tall, stern, snow-tipped mountain, with his expression, the one from years ago, silent and unsmiling, a veritable Mount Fuji of disdain. Shit. My cheeks burn. Of course. But of course. He just caught me trash-talking his neuroanatomy skills in front of his team like a total asshole. This is my life, after all. A flaming ball of scorching, untimely awkwardness.
Boris and I are in the conference room. You ready to meet?
He asks, his voice a deep, severe baritone. My heart thuds. I rack my brain for something to say in response. Then Guy speaks, and I realize that Levi isn't even addressing me. He is, in fact, completely ignoring me and what I just said.
Yep, we were just about to head there. Got sidetracked.
Levi nods once and turns around, a silent but clear order to follow him that everyone seems eager to obey. He was like that in grad school, too. Natural leader, commanding presence, someone whose bad side you wouldn't want to be on. Enter me, a proud resident of his bad side for several years, who just renewed her housing permit with a few simple words.
Is that Dr. Ward?
Rocio whispers as we enter the conference room.
Yep. Welp, that was excellent timing, boss.
I wince. What are the chances that he didn't hear me?
I don't know. What are the chances that his personal hygiene is very poor and he has huge wax balls in his ear canal?
The room is already crowded. I sigh and take the first empty seat I can find, only to realize that it's across from Levi. Awkwardness level? Nuclear. I'm making better and better choices today. Cheering erupts when someone deposits two large boxes of donuts in the center of the table. NASA employees are clearly as enthused by free food as regular academics. People start calling dibs and elbowing each other, and Guy yells over the chaos,
The one in the corner, with the blue frosting, is vegan.
I shoot him a grateful smile, and he winks at me. He's such a nice guy, my almost co-leader. As I wait for the crowd to disperse, I take stock of the room. Levi's team appears to be worst fest material. The well-known meat wave, a dick-splosion in the testoster oven, the good old brodeo. Aside from Rocio and I, there's one single woman, a young blonde currently looking at her phone. My gaze is mesmerized by her perfect beach waves and the pink glitter of her nails. I have to force myself to look away. Worst fest is bad, but it's at least a small step up from cock cluster, which is what Annie and I called academic meetings with only one woman in the room. I've been in cock cluster situations countless times in grad school, and they range from unpleasantly isolating to wildly terrifying. Annie and I used to coordinate to attend meetings together. Not that hard, since we were symbiotic anyway. Sadly, none of my male cohort ever got how awful worst fest and cock cluster are for women.
Grad school's stressful for everyone,
Tim would say when I complained about my entirely male advisory committee.
You keep going on about Marie Curie. She was the only woman in all of science at the time, and she got 2 Nobel Prizes.
Of course, Dr. Curie was not the only female scientist at the time. Dr. Lise Meitner, Dr. Emmy Nuta, Alice Ball, Dr. Nettie Stevens, Henrietta Leavitt, and countless others were active, doing better science with the tip of their little fingers than Tim will ever manage with his sorry ass. But Tim didn't know that, because, as I now know, Tim was dumb.
We're ready to start.
The balding, red-headed man at the head of the table claps his hands, and people scurry to their seats. I lean forward to grab my vegan donut, but my hand freezes in midair. It's not there anymore. I inspect the box several times, but there's only cinnamon left. Then I lift my eyes and I see it. Blue frosting, disappearing behind Levi's teeth as he takes a bite. A bite of my damn donut! There are dozens of alternatives. But behold, the wardass chose the one I could eat. What kind of careless, inconsiderate boob steals the single available option from a starving, needy vegan?
I am Dr. Boris Covington,
the redhead starts. He looks like an exhausted, disheveled, ginger, hard-boiled egg. Like he ran here for this meeting, but there are 5 stacks of paperwork on his desk waiting for him.
I'm in charge of overseeing all research projects here in the Discovery Institute, which makes me your boss.
Everyone laughs with a few good-natured boos. The engineering team seems to be a rowdy bunch.
You guys already know that, with the notable exception of Dr. Koenigswasser and Ms. Corterial, who are here to make sure we don't fail at one of our most ambitious projects yet. Levi's going to be their point of contact, but everyone please make them feel welcome.
Everyone claps, except for Levi, who is busy finishing his, my donut. What an absolute dingus.
Now, let's pretend that I gave an impressive speech and move on to everyone's favorite activity, icebreakers.
Almost everyone groans, but I think I'm a fan of Boris. He seems much better than my NIH boss. For instance, he's been speaking for 1 whole minute and hasn't said anything overtly offensive.
I want your name, job, and let's do favorite movie.
More groans.
Hush, children. Levi, you start.
Everyone in the room turns to him, but he takes his sweet time swallowing my donut. I stare at his throat, and an odd mix of phantom sensations hits me. His thigh pushing between mine, being pressed into the wall, the woodsy smell at the base of his... Wait, what?
Levi Ward, head engineer, and...
He licks some sugar off his bottom lip.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, are you kidding me? First he steals my donut and now my favorite movie.
Kaylee Jackson, the blonde picks up. I'm project manager for Blink and Legally Blonde.
She talks a bit like she could be one of Elle Woods' sorority sisters,
which makes me like her instinctively. But Rocio tenses beside me. When I glance at her, her brows are furrowed. Weird. There are at least 30 people in the room, and the icebreakers get old very soon. I try to pay attention, but Lamar Evans and Mark Costello start fighting over whether Kill Bill Volume 2 is better than Volume 1, and I feel a weird prickle in the center of my forehead. When I turn, Levi's staring hard at me, his eyes full of that something that I seem to awaken in him. I'm a bit resentful about the donut, not to mention that he still hasn't answered my email. But I remind myself of what Boris just said. He's my main collaborator. So I play nice and give him a cautious, slow-to-unfurl smile that I hope communicates, sorry about the angular gyrus jab, and I hope we'll work well together, and hey, thank you for saving my life. He breaks eye contact without smiling back and takes a sip of his coffee. God, I hate him so. B. Rocio elbows me. It's your turn. Oh, right. Sorry. B. Königswasser, head of neuroscience, and... I hesitate. Empire Strikes Back. With the corner of my eye, I see Levi's fist clench on the table. Crap. I should have just said Avatar. Once the meeting is over, Kaylee comes to speak to Rocio.
Ms. Corterial, may I call you Rocio? I need your signature on this document.
She smiles sweetly and holds out a pen, which Rocio doesn't accept. Instead, she freezes, staring at Kaylee with her mouth open for several seconds. I have to elbow her in the ribs to get her to defrost. Interesting.
You're left-handed, Kaylee says while Rocio signs. Me too. Lefty's power, right?
Rocio doesn't look up. Left-handed people are more prone to migraines, allergies, sleep deprivation, alcoholism, and on average live 3 years less than right-handed people.
Oh.
Kaylee's eyes widen.
I didn't.
I'd love to stay and witness more prime valley girl and goth interaction, but Levi's stepping out of the room. As much as I loathe the idea, we'll need to talk at some point, so I run after him. When I reach him, I'm pitifully out of breath.
Levi, wait up.
I might be reading too much into the way his spine goes rigid, but something about how he stops reminds me of an inmate getting caught by the guards just a step away from breaking out of prison. He turns around slowly, hulking but surprisingly graceful, all black and green and that strange, intense face. It was actually a thing back in grad school, something to debate while waiting for participants to show up and analyses to run. Is Levi actually handsome? Or is he just 6'4 and built like the Colossus of Rhodes? There were plenty of opinions going around. Annie, for instance, was very much in camp. 10 out of 10 would have a torrid affair with. And I'd tell her, ew, yikes, and laugh and call her a traitor. Which, yeah, turned out to be accurate, but for completely different reasons. In hindsight, I'm not sure why I used to be so shocked about his fan club. It's not so outlandish that a serious, taciturn man who has several Nature neuroscience publications and looks like he could bench press the entire faculty body in either hand would be considered attractive. Not that I ever did, or ever will. In fact, I'm absolutely not thinking again about his thigh pushing between my legs. Hey, I smile tentatively. He doesn't answer, so I continue. Thank you for the other day. Still no answer. So I continue some more. I wasn't, you know, standing in front of that cart for shits and giggles. I need to stop twisting my grandmother's ring, stat. There was a cat, so...
A cat?
Yeah. A calico. A kitten. Mostly white with orange and black spots on the ears. She had the cutest little... I notice his skeptical look. For real, there was a cat.
Inside the building.
Yes, I frown. She jumped on the cart, made the boxes fall. He nods, clearly unconvinced. Fantastic. Now he thinks I'm making up the cat. Wait. Am I making up the cat? Did I hallucinate it? Did I?
Can I help you with anything?
Oh. I scratch the back of my head. No. I just wanted to, tell you how excited I am to collaborate again. He doesn't immediately reply, and a terrible thought occurs to me. Levi doesn't remember me. He has no idea who I am. We used to be in the same lab at Pitt. I was a first year when you graduated. We didn't overlap long, but... His jaw tenses, then immediately relaxes.
I remember,
he says. Oh, good. It's a relief. My grad school arch nemesis forgetting about me would be a bit humiliating. I thought you might not, so...
I have a functioning hippocampus.
He looks away and adds a little gruffly.
I thought you'd be at Vanderbilt with Schreiber.
I'm surprised he knows about that. When I made plans to go work in Schreiber's lab, the best of the best in my field, Levi had long moved on from Pitt. The point is, of course, moot, because after all the happenings of 2 years ago happened, I ended up scrambling to find another position. But I don't like to think about that time, so I say, nope. Keeping my tone neutral to avoid baring my throat to the hyena. I met NIH under Trevor Slate, but he's great too. He really isn't, and not just because he enjoys reminding me that women have smaller brains than men.
How's Tim?
Now, that's a mean question. I know for a fact that Tim and Levi have ongoing collaborations. They even hosted a panel together at the main conference in our field last year, which means that Levi knows that Tim and I called off our wedding. Plus, he must be aware of what Tim did to me. For the simple reason that everyone knows what Tim did to me. Lab mates, faculty members, janitors, the lady who manned the sandwich station in the Pitt cafeteria, they all knew. Long before I did. I make myself smile. Good. He's good. I doubt it's a lie. People like Tim always land on their feet, after all. Unlike people like me, who fall on their metaphorical asses, break their tailbones, and spend years paying off the medical bills. Hey, what I said earlier about the angular gyrus, I didn't mean to be rude. I wasn't thinking.
It's okay.
I hope you're not mad. I didn't mean to overstep.
I'm not mad.
I stare up at his face. He doesn't seem mad. Then again, he also doesn't seem not mad. He just seems like the old Levi, quietly intense, unreadable, not at all fond of me. Good. Great. My eyes fall to his large bicep, and then to his fist. He is clenching it again. Guess Dr. Wardass still dislikes me. Whatever. His problem. Maybe I have a bad aura. It doesn't matter. I'm here to get a job done, and I will. I square my shoulders. Guy gave me a tour earlier. I noticed that none of our equipment's here yet. What's the ETA for that? His lips press together.
We are working on it. I'll keep you posted.
Okay. My RA and I can't get anything done until our computers arrive, so the earlier the better.
I'll keep you posted,
he repeats tersely. Cool. When can we meet to discuss Blink?
Email me with times that work for you.
They all do. I don't have a schedule until my equipment arrives, so
please email me.
His tone, patient and firm, screams, I'm an adult dealing with a difficult child, so I don't insist further. Okay, will do. I nod, half-heartedly wave my goodbye and turn to walk away. I can't wait to work with this guy for 3 months. I love being treated like I'm a piece of belly button lint instead of a valuable asset to a team. That's why I got a PhD in neuroscience, to achieve nuisance status and be patronized by the ward asses of the world. Lucky for me.
There's one more thing,
he says. I turn back and tilt my head. His expression is as closed off as usual, and why the hell is the feel of his thigh in my brain again? Not now, intrusive thoughts.
The Discovery Building has a dress code.
His words don't land immediately. Then they do, and I look down to my clothes. He can't possibly mean me, can he? I'm wearing jeans and a blouse. He is wearing jeans and a Houston Marathon t-shirt. God, he's probably one of those obnoxious people who post their workout stats on social media. Yes? I prompt him, hoping he'll explain himself.
Piercings. Certain hair colors. Certain types of makeup are unacceptable.
I see his eyes fall on one of the braids draped over my shoulder, and then drift upward to a spot above my head. As though he can't bear to look at me longer than a split second. As though my sight, my existence offends him.
I'll make sure Kaylee sends you the handbook.
Unacceptable?
Correct.
And you're telling me this because?
Please, make sure you follow the dress code.
I want to kick him in the shins. Or maybe punch him. No, what I really want is to grab his chin and force him to stare at what he clearly considers my ugly, offensive face some more. Instead, I put my hands on my hips and smile. That's interesting. I keep my tone pleasant enough, because I am a pleasant person, damn it. Because half of your team are wearing sweats or shorts, have visible tattoos, and Aaron, I believe is his name, has a gauge in his ear. It makes me wonder if maybe there's a gendered double standard at play here. He closes his eyes, as though trying to collect himself, as though staving off a wave of anger. Anger at what? My piercings? My hair? My corporeal form?
Just make sure you follow the dress code.
I cannot believe this chuckle fuck. Are you serious? He nods. All of a sudden, I am too mad to be in his presence. Very well. I'll make an effort to look acceptable from now on. I whirl around and walk back to the conference room. If my shoulder brushes his torso on my way there, I am too busy not kneeing him in the nuts to apologize. 4. Parahippocampal gyrus. Suspicion. My second day on Blink is almost as good as my first. What do you mean we can't get inside our office? I told you, someone dug a moat around it and filled it with alligators, and bears, and carnivorous moths. I stare silently at Rocio and she sighs, swiping her ID through the reader by the door. It blinks red and makes a flat noise. Our badges don't work. I roll my eyes. I'll go find Kaylee. She can probably fix this. No. She sounds so uncharacteristically panicked. I lift an eyebrow. No? Don't call Kaylee. Let's just knock the door down. Count of three. 1, 2. Why shouldn't I call Kaylee? Because, her throat bobs. I don't like her. She's a witch. She might curse our families. All our firstborns shall have ingrown toenails for centuries to come. I thought you didn't want kids. I don't. I'm worried about you, boss. I tilt my head. Ro, is this heat stroke? Should I buy you a hat? Houston's much warmer than Baltimore. Maybe we should just go home. It's not like our equipment is here. What are we even going to do? She's being so weird. Though, to be fair, she's always weird. Well, I brought my laptop so we can... Oh, Guy.
Hey, do you have time to answer a couple of questions for me?
Of course. Could you let us into our office? Our badges aren't working.
He opens the door and immediately asks me about brain stimulation and spatial cognition, and over an hour goes by.
It might be tricky to get to deep structures, but we can find a workaround, I tell him toward the end.
There's a piece of paper full of diagrams and stylized brains between us.
As soon as the equipment arrives, I can show you.
I bite the inside of my cheek, hesitant.
Hey, can I ask you something?
A date?
No, I...
Good, because I prefer figs.
I smile. Guy reminds me a bit of my British cousin. Total charmer, adorable smile.
Same. Is there a reason the neuro equipment isn't here yet?
I know Levi is supposed to be my point of contact, but he's currently sitting on 3 unanswered emails. I'm not sure how to get him to reply. Use Comic Sans, write in primary colors. Guy bites his lip and looks around. Rocio is coding away on her laptop with AirPods in her ears.
I heard Kaylee say that it's an authorization problem.
Authorization?
For the funds to be dispersed and new equipment to be brought in, several people need to sign off.
I frown. Who needs to sign off?
Well, Boris, his superiors. Levi, of course. Whatever the holdup is, I'm sure he'll fix it soon.
Levi is as likely to be the holdup as I am to make a mistake while filing my taxes, i.e., very. But I don't point that out.
Have you
known him long? Levi, I mean.
Years. He was very close to Peter. I think that's why Levi threw his name in the hat for Blink.
I want to ask who Peter is, but Guy seems to assume I already know. Is he someone I met yesterday? I'm so bad with names.
He's a fantastic engineer and a great team leader. He was at the Jet Propulsion Lab when I was on my first space mission. I know they were sad to see him transfer.
I frown. This morning, I walked past him chatting with the engineers, and they were all laughing at something sports ball he'd just said. I choose to believe that they were just sucking up to him. Okay, he's good at his job. But he can't possibly be a beloved boss, can he? Not Dr. Wardness of the intractable disposition and wintry personality. And since we're talking, why the hell did they decide to transfer someone from the JPL instead of having Guy lead? Must be divine punishment. I guess I kicked lots of puppies in a past life. Maybe I used to be Dracula.
Levi's a good guy,
Guy continues.
A good bro, too. He owns a truck. Helped me move out after my ex kicked me out.
Of course he does.
Of course he drives a vehicle with a huge environmental footprint that's probably responsible for the death of 20 seagulls a day, while chomping on my vegan donut.
Also, we sometimes babysit playdates together. Having beers and talking about Battlestar Galactica vastly improves the experience of watching 2 6-year-olds arguing over who gets to be Moana.
My jaw drops. What? Levi has a child? A small human child?
I wouldn't worry about the equipment, B. Levi will take care of it. He's great at getting stuff done.
Guy winks at me as he stands.
I can't wait to see what you 2 geniuses come up with.
Levi will take care of it. I watch Guy step out and wonder if more ominous words were ever uttered.
Fun fact about me, I am a fairly mellow person, but I happen to have a very violent fantasy life. Maybe it's an overactive amygdala. Maybe it's too much estrogen. Maybe it's the lack of parental role models in my formative years. I honestly don't know what the cause is, but the fact remains. I sometimes daydream about murdering people. By sometimes, I mean often. And by people, I mean Levi Ward. I have my first vivid reverie on my 3rd day at NASA, when I imagine offing him with poison.
I'd be satisfied with a quick and painless end, as long as I got to proudly stand over his lifeless body, kick it in the ribs, and proclaim, "This is for not answering even one of my 7 emails." Then I'd casually stomp on one of his humongous hands and add, "And this is for never being in your office when I tried to corner you there." It's a nice fantasy. It sustains me in my free time, which is plentiful. Because my ability to do my work hinges on my ability to magnetically stimulate brains, which in turn hinges on the arrival of my damn equipment. By the 4th day, I'm convinced that Levi needs some miracle blade stabbing. I ambush him in the shared kitchen on the 2nd floor, where he's pouring coffee into a Star Wars mug with a baby Yoda picture. It says, "Yoda Best Engineer," and it's so adorably cute, he doesn't deserve it. I briefly wonder if he bought it himself, or if it's a present from his child. If that's the case, he doesn't deserve the child either. "Hey," I smile up at him, leaning my hip against the sink. God, he's so tall and broad. He's a 1,000-year oak. Someone with a body like this has no business owning a nerdy mug. "How are you?" His head jerks down to look at me, and for a split moment, his eyes look panicked. Trapped. It quickly melts into his usual non-expression, but not before his hand slips. Some coffee sloshes over the rim, and he almost gives himself third-degree burns. "I'm a cave troll. I'm so unpleasant to be around, I make him clumsy. The sheer power I hold."
"Hi,"
he says, drying himself with kitchen paper. "No, fine, no, and you, no, boy, howdy, the weather's humid today." I sigh internally. "Any news about the equipment?"
"We're working on it."
It's amazing how good he is at looking to me without actually looking at me. If it were an Olympic discipline, he'd have a gold medal and his picture on a Wheaties box. "Why exactly is it not here yet? Any issues with the NIH funds?"
"Authorizations, but we're
working on it, yes." I'm still smiling, murderously polite. The neuroscience on positive reinforcement is solid. It's all about the dopamine. "Whose authorizations are we waiting for?" His muscles, many and enormous, stiffen.
"A couple."
His eyes fall on me and then on my thumb, which is twisting around my grandmother's ring. They immediately bounce away. "Who are we missing? Maybe I can talk to them, see if I can speed up things."
"No."
"Right, of course. Can I see the blueprints for the prototype? Make a few notes?"
"They're on the server. You have access."
"Do I? I sent you an email about that and about—" A phone rings in his pocket. He checks the caller ID and answers with a soft, "Hey," before I can continue. I hear a female voice on the other side. Levi doesn't look at me as he mouths,
"Excuse me,"
and slips out of the kitchen. I'm left alone. Alone with my stabbing dreams. On the 5th day, my fantasies evolve yet again. I'm walking to my office, schlepping a refill bottle for the water cooler and half-heartedly considering using it to drown Levi. His hair seems long enough to hold on to while I push his head under water, but I could also tie an anvil to his neck. Then I hear voices inside and stop to listen. "Okay, fine, to eavesdrop." "In Houston?" Rocio is asking.
5 or 6 years.
A deep voice answers. Levi's. "And how many times have you seen La Llorona?" A pause.
"Is that the woman from the legend?"
"Not a woman," she scoffs. "A tall lady ghost with dark hair. Wronged by a man. She drowned her own children in revenge. Now she dresses in white, like a bride, and weeps on the banks of rivers and streams throughout the South."
"Because she regrets it?"
"No. She's trying to lure more children to bodies of water and drown them. She's amazing. I want to be her." Levi's soft laugh surprises me. And so does his tone. Gently teasing. Warm. What the hell?
I've never had the, pleasure, but I can recommend nearby hiking trails with water. I'll send you an email.
What is happening? Why is he conversing like a normal person? Not with grunts or nods or clipped fragments of words, but in actual sentences. And why is he promising to send emails? Does he know how to? And why am I thinking about the way he pinned me against that stupid wall? Again. That would be great. I normally avoid nature, but I am ready to brave clean air and sunlight for my favorite celebrity.
I don't think she qualifies as a...
I step into the office and immediately halt, dumbstruck by the most extraordinary sight I have ever laid my eyes upon. Dr. Levi Ward is smiling. Apparently, the Ward ass can smile. At people. He possesses the necessary facial muscles. Though the second I step inside, his dimpled boyish grin fades and his eyes darken. Maybe he can only smile at some people. Maybe I'm just not considered people. Morning, boss. Rocio waves at me from her desk. Levi let me in. Our badges still aren't working. Thanks, Levi. Any idea when they will? Icy green. Can green be icy? The one in his eyes sure manages to.
We're working on it.
He makes for the door, and I think he's going to leave. But instead, he picks up the refill bottle I dragged here, lifts it with one hand, one hand, and lodges it on top of the cooler.
You don't have to. It's no problem,
he says. He should be sent to jail for the way his biceps look. At least for a little bit. Also, please lock him up for being gone before I can ask if our equipment will ever arrive. If he'll ever answer my emails, if I'll ever be worthy of a compound sentence made of multiple clauses. Boss? I slowly turn to Rocio. She's looking at me inquisitive.
Yep.
I don't think Levi likes you very much. I sigh. I shouldn't be involving Rocio in this weird feud of ours. Partly because it seems unprofessional, partly because I'm not sure what she'll blurt out at the most inappropriate moment. On the other hand, there's no point in denying the obvious. We know each other from before, Levi and I. Before you publicly announced that he's shit at neuroscience, you mean? Yeah. I see.
You do?
Of course. You two had a passionate love story that slowly soured, culminating when you caught Levi in an intimate embrace with your butler, stabbed his abdomen 69 times and left him for dead, only to be astonished to find him still alive when you arrived in Houston. I cock my head. Do you really think two scientists could afford a butler? She mulls it over. Okay, that part's unrealistic. Levi and I were in grad school together. And we... I honestly have no idea how to put it diplomatically. I want to say, didn't get along. But there was never an along to be gotten. We never interacted because he discouraged it or avoided it. He was never a fan. She nods like she finds the idea relatable. That little scorpion. I love her. Did he hate you at first sight, or did he grow into it? Oh, he... I stop short. I actually have no idea. I try to think back to my first meeting with him, but I can't remember it. It must have been on my first day of grad school, when Tim and I joined Sam's lab. But I have no memories. He was vaguely hostile to me well before the incident in Sam's office when he declined to collaborate. But I can't place the start of it. Interesting. I guess Tim or Annie might know. Except that I'd rather slowly perish from cobalt poisoning than ever speak to either of them again. I'm not sure. I shrug. A combination? Is Levi's dislike related to the fact that I just spent a week on TikTok because I don't have a decent computer to work on? I plop down in my chair. I suspect the two things are very related, but it's not as if I can prove it or know what to do about it. It's an isolating situation. I've considered talking to other people here at NASA, or even at NIH, but they'd just point out that Levi needs me to make the project succeed, and that the idea of him self-sabotaging just to sabotage me is preposterous. They might even think that I'm the one who's in the wrong, since I haven't proven myself as a project leader yet. And there's something else to consider. Something that I don't want to say out loud or even think in my head. But here goes. If my career is a sapling, Levi's is a baobab. It can withstand a lot more. He has a history of completed grants and successful collaborations. Blink's failure would be a bump in the road for him, and a car-totaling crash for me. Am I being paranoid? Probably. I need to lay off the coffee and stop spending my nights plotting Levi's demise. He's living rent-free in my head. Meanwhile, he doesn't even know my last name. I don't know, Ro. I sigh. They might be related. Or not? She rocks back in her chair. I wonder if pointing out that his revenge plan is harming not just your career prospects, but an innocent bystander's too would help. The innocent bystander is me, by the way. I bite back a smile. Thank you for clarifying. You know what you should do? Please don't say stab his abdomen 69 times. I wasn't going to. That's too good advice to waste on you. No, you should ask, at What Would Marie Do? On Twitter. You know her? I freeze, my cheeks warm. I study Rocio's expression, but it looks as sullenly bored as usual. I briefly consider saying, never heard of her, but it seems like overcompensating. Yeah. I figured, since you're a Marie Curie stan, you own like 3 pairs of Marie Curie socks. I own 7, but I just hum noncommittal. You can tweet at Marie with your problem. She'll retweet and you'll get advice. I ask all the time. Does she? Really? From your professional Twitter? Nah, I make burner accounts. I don't want other people knowing my private business. Why? I complain a lot. About you, for instance. I try not to smile. It's very hard. What did I do? The vegan lean cuisine you always eat at your desk? Yeah. It smells like farts. That night, I drag a chair out on the balcony and stare at my depressingly deserted hummingbird feeder, trying to formulate a question as vaguely as possible. At What Would Marie Do? If she suspected that a collaborator has a vendetta against her, and is sabotaging their shared project. When put into words, it feels so stupid. I can't even hit send. Instead, I Google whether I'm within the age of onset for paranoid ideation. Shit, I am. And call Rika to update her on current events. What do you mean you almost died? Did you see your life replay before your eyes? Did you think of me? Of the cats you never adopted? Of the love you never allow yourself to give. Did you unfence the beef fence? I'm not sure why I persevere with telling my sister every little humiliating thing that happens to me. My life is mortifying enough without her ruthless commentary. I didn't think about anything. You thought of Marie Curie, didn't you? Rika laughs. Weirdo. How did the ward ass manage to save you? Where did he come from? That's actually a good question. I have no idea how he was able to intervene so quickly. Right place, right time kind of thing, probably. And now you owe him. Your arch nemesis. This is delightful. You're enjoying this way too much. Bitch, I spent the day teaching the German dative for 30 euros. I deserve this. I sigh. My hummingbird feeder is still despondently empty, and my heart squeezes. I miss Phineas. I miss the tchotchkes I accumulated in my Bethesda apartment that made it feel like home. I miss Rika, seeing her in person, hugging her, being in the same time zone. I miss knowing where the olives are at the supermarket. I miss doing science. I miss the elation I felt during my 3 days of celebration when I thought Blink would be the opportunity of a lifetime. I miss not having to Google whether I'm having a psychotic episode. Am I crazy? Is Levi really sabotaging me? You're not crazy. If you were, I'd be too. Genes and stuff. Knowing Rika, I don't find this reassuring at all. But as much as he dislikes you, it's hard to believe that he's sabotaging you. That level of hatred requires so much effort and motivation and commitment. It's basically love. I doubt he cares that much. My guess is that he's just being a testicle and not actively helping you, which is why you should have a calm but firm conversation with him. I sigh again. You're probably right. Probably? I smile. Likely. Tell me about Astronaut Guy. Is Astronaut Guy cute? He's nice. Not cute, then? When I go to bed, I'm convinced that Rika is right. I need to be firmer in my demands. I have a plan for next week. If there is no ETA for my equipment by Monday morning, I'm going to civilly confront Levi and tell him to cut the crap. If things get ugly, I'll threaten him with wearing the dress again. It was clearly his kryptonite. I'd be open to doing laundry every night and subjecting him to it for the rest of my stay in Houston. I smile at the ceiling, thinking that being revolting sometimes has its own advantages. I turn around, and when the sheets rustle, I'm almost in a good mood, cautiously optimistic. Blink will work out. I'll make sure of it. And then Monday happens. 5. Amygdala. Anger. It starts with Trevor, my NIH boss, wanting to talk as soon as you can be, which has me groaning into my oatmeal. Neuroscience is a relatively new field, and Trevor is a mediocre scientist who was lucky enough to be at the right place when tons of neuro positions and funding opportunities were created. Fast forward 20 years, and he has made just enough connections to avoid being fired, even though I strongly suspect that if given a human brain, he wouldn't be able to point to the occipital lobe. I call him while walking to work, the humid morning air instantly pasting a sticky layer on my skin. His first words are,
B, where are you with Blink?
Oh, I'm just peachy, thank you. What about you?
About to start week 2.
But where's the project at?
He bristles.
Are the suits ready?
Helmets. They're helmets. Seems like that would be an easy detail to remember since we study the brain.
Whatever,
he says impatiently.
Are they ready?
I miss him so little. I can't wait till Blink makes my CV awesome and I can move to a position that doesn't require acknowledging his existence.
They're not. The projected timeline is 3 months. We haven't even started.
A pause.
What do you mean you haven't started?
I currently have no equipment. No EEG, no TMS, no computers, not even access to my office. Everything I asked for in my application weeks ago has yet to be delivered.
What?
There are mysterious authorizations that need to be collected, but it's impossible to figure out whose authorizations.
Are you serious?
My heart beats faster at the indignation in his voice. Trevor sounds mad. Do I have an ally? A horrible ally, but a useful one. If he exerts some pressure at higher levels, they'll intervene and Levi won't be able to drag his feet anymore. Oh my God, why didn't I just call Trevor on day 1?
I know, it's stupid, a waste of time and unprofessional. I'm not sure who can help us fix this situation, but
Then you better figure it the hell out. What have you been doing there for a week? Visiting the Space Museum? B, you're not on vacation. It's your responsibility to get Blink going. What do you think you were hired for?
Right. This is why I didn't call Trevor. I have no power or connections here. My liaison is Levi, and whatever I do is...
Clearly, whatever you do is not enough.
He takes a deep breath.
Listen carefully, B. George Kramer called me last night.
Kramer is the head of our NIH Institute, so far removed from my lowly postdoc position that it takes me a moment to place the name.
On Friday, he talked with the director of NIH and with two members of Congress. The general consensus is that Blink is the kind of project that taxpayers eat up. It mixes astronauts and brains, which market test well among average Americans. They're sexy topics.
I recoil. I can never hear Trevor and his smelly breath use the word sexy again.
Plus, it's the joint collaboration of two already beloved government agencies. It'll make the current administration look good, and they need to look good.
I frown. He has been talking for over a minute and hasn't mentioned science once. I don't see what this means.
It means that as of right now, there's a lot of scrutiny over Blink, over your performance. Kramer wants weekly updates starting today.
He wants an update today?
And every week from today.
Well, this is going to be a problem. What the hell am I supposed to tell him? That I have no progress to report. But will he accept an R-rated list of elaborately intricate murder fantasies I have spun regarding Dr. Levi Ward? I am toying with the idea of turning them into a graphic novel.
And B,
Trevor is saying,
Kramer doesn't care about attempts. He wants results.
Wait a minute. I can give Kramer however many updates he wants, but this is science, not PR. I want results as much as he does, but we're talking about building a piece of equipment that will alter astronauts' brain activity. I'm not going to rush through experiments and make a possibly fatal mistake.
Then you're off this project.
My jaw drops. I stop in the middle of the crosswalk until a Nissan honks and startles me into running to the sidewalk.
What? What did you just say?
If you don't get your act together, I'm going to pull you and send someone else.
Why? Who?
Hank, or Jan, or someone else. You know how long the list is, how many people applied for this position.
But that's the point. I got Blink because I'm the most qualified. You can't just send someone else.
I can if you've been there for an entire week and got nothing done. B, I don't care if you're the best I have at neurostimulation. If you don't get it together soon, you're out.
By the time I get to the office, my heart is pounding and my head's in chaos. Can Trevor take me off of Blink? No, he can't. Or maybe he can. I have no clue.
Shit, of course he can. He can do whatever he wants, especially if he can prove that I'm not doing enough, which he will be able to do thanks to Levi Wardass. God, I hate him.
My murder fantasies reach their final form, longitudinal impalement. Vlad style. I'll plant the stake right outside my bedroom window. His suffering can be the last thing I see before I sleep and the first when I wake up. I'll sprinkle nectar all over him so the hummingbirds can feast on his blood. Solid plan. Rocio asked for the morning off. I'm alone in the office and free to do what my heart desires. Head desk. What are my options here? I need to get a straight answer on when the equipment will be delivered, but I don't know who to ask. Guy will direct me to Levi, Levi won't talk to me, and... I sit up, as an idea starts forming in my head. 2 minutes later, I'm on the phone with Stimcase, the company that produces the system I use.
This is Dr. B. Koenigswasser, calling from the Sullivan Discovery Institute, NASA. I wanted to check on the status of our order. It's a TMS system.
Of course. The customer service lady's voice is low and soothing. Do you have an order number?
Not at hand. My, assistant is out,
But the listed principal investigator should be either me or Dr. Levi Ward.
Just a moment, then. Oh, yes, under Dr. Ward's name. But it looks like the order was canceled.
My stomach twists in knots. I tighten my fingers around the phone to avoid dropping it. Could you... I clear my throat. Could you check again?
It was supposed to be shipped last Monday, but Dr. Ward canceled it the previous Friday, the day Levi first saw me in Houston, the day he saved my life, the day he decided that he had no intention of working with me ever.
Okay. I nod, even though she can't possibly see me. Thank you. The hang-up noise is deafeningly loud, echoing through my head for long moments. I don't know what to do. What do I do? Shit. Shit! You know who would know what to do? Dr. Curie, of course. But also, Annie. When she was a third year, some guy stole her optic fibers, so she installed a subroutine on his computer that made lobster porn pop up every time he typed the letter X. He almost dropped out of grad school. That night, we celebrated by making watermelon sangria and reinventing the Macarena on the roof of her apartment building. Of course, what Annie knows or doesn't know is irrelevant. She's not in my life anymore. She's made her choices for reasons that I'll never understand. And I...
B?
I set my phone on the table, wipe my sweaty palms over my jeans, and look to the door. Hey, Kaylee.